elbows dropped by Martellus Bennett. And Anthony Barr smacked Aaron Rodgers, who's down at the 30-yard line. Anthony Barr smacked Aaron Rodgers right as he threw the ball. And Rodgers is writhing in pain on the ground.
That was the turning point in the Vikings' big win yesterday over the Green Bay Packers. Joining us now, always a pleasure, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What's up, gentlemen?
How are you today?
Pretty good.
Seems like always an interesting weekend, and yesterday was no different.
Nope. Vikings first place operation into next week's game against Baltimore, and the landscape of the entire National Football League changed yesterday when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone and was lost for the season.
Does it take a little, you spend a lot of time with the team, a lot of time with the players, does it diminish the enjoyment of a big rivalry win like that when it comes with that sort of asterisk of, well, Aaron Rodgers went down, and so of course we won the game? Or
well,
is it
for,
just like,
for me,
beat the Packers? So
it initially
awesome.
Does. It initially does, where I'm not really of the braggadocious variety, because I recognize that things happen in the NFL. It's very difficult to win, and it's a very physical game. But when things settle down and you recognize your team is 4-2, you beat a division rival, you're on the grind every single week because of your problems, then you just move on. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings last year had 12 different offensive line combinations, 5 left tackles, have lost Sam Bradford maybe for the season. This year, Dalvin Cook might have been the offensive rookie of the year. He's out, and we didn't have Stephon Diggs yesterday.
And
so
that's what I sort of come back to after the game. It's like, yeah, it sucks that Aaron Rodgers went down. I feel bad for Packers fans.
If it had been a cheap hit, it would have changed the opinion on everything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if Anthony Barr had cheated and, you know, thrown him down, then landed on him, and there was a 15-yard penalty, and Rodgers broke his collarbone, it would be different, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but it's not like the Vikings haven't had their own share of problems and injuries. That's
right.
Why it's like, yeah, it happens. It's football.
Right.
What was your assessment of Case despite Rodgers going out? Did he play a solid game even though the Aaron Rodgers didn't play the whole time?
Yeah, Case is fine. You know, and I think I shared with you guys last week that really in underrated fashion, Case Keenum has been a good quarterback for this team. He, when he made his debut against Pittsburgh, it was a very awkward weekend for him in that he didn't know he was going to start until 3 hours before the game, which just makes it a little more difficult. Then after that, he lights up Tampa. I thought he played better than some people gave him credit for in a loss to the Lions. The reason the Vikings lost to the Lions were due to fumbles, none of them by Keenum, and dropped interceptions. Mm-hmm. And then he had to come in an awkward spot Monday night against the Chicago Bears, and he lit it up. I mean, he went 17 for 21 for 100 and change and a touchdown to Kyle Rudolph. So Case Keenum has been a high-end backup quarterback called into duty, who's not making mistakes. His running is sorely needed with this team because, you know, with Sam Bradford, you get certain things down the field you're not going to get from Keenum, but you're not going to get Sam to run out of trouble when the protection breaks down, and that's what Case is giving you. So he's been a spark.
You seeing more cohesion, I mean, in the game and in practice with Case and the rest of the team?
Well, with Keenum, I mean, the offensive line, now is through 6 games, and it was one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL last year. So you give left tackle Riley Reiff a ton of cash to join your team. You bring in Mike Remmers to play right tackle. They had a replacement at left guard, a rookie at center, and a veteran from Michigan Tech playing right guard. So while that still gels, and quite honestly, it's done just fantastic this year, And now you try to fix the running game without Dalvin Cook and operate without Stephon Diggs. It's an ever-changing situation for the Vikings offense, seemingly on a weekly basis, one that Keenum embraces and seems to make work.
Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming opponent. We've got the Baltimore Ravens coming to town this week. You've got Cleveland in London after that. The Vikings are finding themselves at 4-2 in pretty good shape, looking a good chance to be 6-2 going into the bye.
Yeah, we should be 6-2. They should beat the Ravens. Now, the Ravens lost at home to Chicago yesterday. Baltimore has been topsy-turvy this year. Quarterback Joe Flacco has Super Bowl and postseason equity, so you can't sleep on him. They have a wide receiver named Mike Wallace who used to play here and for your Dolphins. And Mike's going to want to come here and try to get behind the secondary, which I think is going to be difficult. One interesting thing yesterday with Rodgers or with Hundley, their backup quarterback, is the Vikings defense put third-year corner Trey Waynes on Jordy Nelson the entire game. And for those of us, you know, into it in hardcore fashion, wondering what the matchups would be like yesterday, Xavier Rhodes is widely considered one of the best corners in the NFL, and he was on wide receiver Davante Adams all game. So now you get Wallace, who I would expect Waynes to check. Max Williams, a former Golden Gophers tight end, he can be sneaky too. He plays for the Ravens. That team has faced innumerable injuries this year. It looks absolutely like a non-playoff team, and this is a game the Vikings should win.
Does the did the Xavier Adams matchup yesterday surprise you at all, or is that more of a reflection of, you know, Jordy's still talented and Jordy's mm-hmm. still a weapon,
yeah,
but is his value diminished a little bit? Is Adams the bigger threat?
No, not really. I of the two, I would take Nelson 10 out of 10 times. For whatever the reason, I think Trey matches up well with Jordy, and I can't exactly explain why. You know, in some of these games, specifically the one last year at US Bank Stadium, Zimmer has put Waynes on Nelson, and Nelson has not had huge games. Now, Jordy killed this team at Lambeau Field in the penultimate game last season, you know, and that was kind of a hodgepodge of coverage. But with Waynes playing the way he is, a second-year guy, Mackenzie Alexander, is really, really playing well. And you have Xavier Rhodes, the veteran Terrence Newman, Harrison Smith, Harry the Hitman, has three picks. He had a sack and a half yesterday, one of the better games in Harrison's career. The back end of the defense is really, really good.
What talk at all should be around Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, this is a big week because he is eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list. So the question is, what's the next move with Teddy Bridgewater? I would guess he goes to the active roster. There was a tweet yesterday from a National Football League reporting heavy hitter named Jay Glazer that indicated he had steam. Bradford's left knee is in peril. It's in really, really bad shape, and there are chronic situations with it where not only might he not play this year, according to Jay, Sam might be done. Now, I can't confirm that in any way, but the backup quarterback for the Vikings right now is a guy named Kyle Sloter, who was an undrafted player from Northern Colorado, lit it up in the preseason for the Denver Broncos. For whatever the reason, they let him go. For the practice squad, where you get 10 practice squad players, those players make on average $7,500 a week. The Vikings wanted Sloter so badly, they gave him $20,000 a week to outbid three other teams for his services. I've watched Kyle perform in practice a fair amount, and he's very physically gifted. 14 months ago, he was a receiver for Northern Colorado, and he wasn't even their starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. So if you read between the lines moving forward, it seems to make sense. If Bridgewater is ready to go, you make him active, and he becomes your backup quarterback to Case Keenum into the Baltimore game.
Have you seen him at all yet?
Bridgewater?
Yeah.
He looks fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, now he has not taken part in team activities in well over a year. He hasn't taken part in practices or team drills or stuff like that in well over a year. The rehabilitation part of it that I've seen with some stress that they've put on the leg to make sure it holds up, Teddy seems to be responding to everything. And again, this is the week they will make a decision what's next with him.
If you had to lay some money down, would you expect that Case Keenum is our starter for the rest of the season?
It's impossible to go hypothetical like that because you know, I can't sit Case now. I mean, you're winning games with Case Keenum, right. And you know, if you look at the situation here, the general manager Rick Spielman created, it was a very difficult situation August of 2016 when Bridgewater had that knee injury. So he rolled the dice and traded for Sam, and Sam had a good season last year and a good game this year. But in this offseason, while looking for a new backup quarterback, he found Case Keenum. And fifth year from Houston guy is performing well enough to win games. So now you take that to Green Bay, where Green Bay has probably the most important player, maybe this side of Tom Brady, to a team in the National Football League. The backup situation leaves a lot to be desired. Where here, you know, now you're looking at a situation where you go from Sam to Case, you win games with Case, and now the backup may be a quarterback who started in 2015 with whom you won a division.
The Packers are widely considered to sort of be the class of the NFC North. They've had so many good seasons. They've won the championships. They've won the division a number of times. But I think the Vikings organization deserves a little more credit than they get in maintaining some stability through all the injuries that they've had and still being able to go out there and win games. When you look at the Packers team yesterday, when Rodgers went down, you realize that's a one-man team.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to bang on Green Bay for yesterday. You know, at the end of the game, they were down their left tackle, left guard, right tackle. They came into the game without both their starting cornerbacks playing. Then they lost one during the game. The quarterback of their secondary, Morgan Burnett, was out with a hamstring injury. That gets real deep into injuries when you're missing that many guys.
I didn't mean that as a dig on Green Bay. I mean that more as a credit to the Vikings organization. When you look at the number of injuries that they've had, and they're still being able to go out there and they're competitive. They've been competitive every game except for the Pittsburgh game.
Right. And last year they faced a fair amount of devastation with injury, and they finished 8-8, but they were, outside of a couple of games, extremely competitive during the season. This is a deep, fast, and fun Vikings team, one that I think should be considered the favorites to win the NFC North.
Two-part question on this. One, is the NFL gaining anything from these London games, in your opinion?
Excellent question.
And then the other question I have with that, too, decouple with it, is it added stress, the extra travel on the teams to go and do these games?
Well, we'll find out this year, because in 2013, when we went, we were there a week. We spent a week, basically five and a half, 6 days, most of it in a city called Watford, staying at a wonderful hotel called The Grove, where the team practiced. This year, we will leave a week from Wednesday in the evening. We will arrive in London like 7 or 8 in the morning, London time, Thursday. They will practice that day, then we will play Sunday, and we will come back Sunday right after the game, returning at about 10:30 or 11 Minnesota time on Sunday night. So it's going to be more of a truncated trip this time. I don't really think it's added stress, because things are so controlled there with where you practice, the amenities, the travel and stuff like that.
Travel.
Overall, I think it's kind of a normal road trip. Secondly, I think the London games are profitable for these teams. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have gone 5 consecutive years, and I read a story in Sports Illustrated recently with their owner talking about the profitability and just the exposure and things that are enhanced for an organization when they go to London.
Paul Allen, always a pleasure. Look forward to catching
right
up
on
with you again next week after another Vikings win against the Ravens.
Right on. Bye, Sam.
Use that hashtag, Tim Hortons, TCNT, if you want Tim Hortons delivered to where you work. Tell us where you work and why you want Tim Hortons, Timbits, treats, and coffee. And this Thursday will be the first time we hand-deliver Tim Hortons to your office, just because, you know, we like you.
Yeah.
That's
a nice thing to do.
That's how that works.
Just want to meet you, say hello.
The Rochester Theater is hoping that people do well. Government does nice things for them out of NPR. After a you know what, Drew, this is very passionate for you. I'm gonna go. You know what? Because this was the first thing that kind of came out of your mouth this morning when you got in.
You just crossed this story via Twitter.
A little bit of indication of how much you're kind of fired up about it.
Over the weekend, headline is, citing low ticket sales, Rochester Theater asked the city for an extra $80,000.
Oh!
How's that work?
Can we make requests?
Yeah, right. Is that how city government works now?
Can I have $80,000?
Revenues are coming in a little lower than expected.
Yeah, if you're like it,
just cut us a check.
This past weekend, like, the box office was just for a regular theater was like dismal, right? I mean, it was dismal. Happy Death Day came in number one at like $26 million, and Blade Runner dropped like 50%.
Right.
So, but if you're like AMC, do you just kind of go, hey, you know what, city?
we had a rough weekend.
Could you make up for, you know, the lack of a blockbuster this weekend and maybe throw some cash?
Yeah, we came up about, you know, $10,000 short of,
you know,
expected.
I mean,
so
you know, had the horror Groundhog Day movie did kind of good, but you know, our concession sales were bad. Can you just do that? No, of course not. You can't. They'll go, "Hi, you're funny."
We'll get into the brazen shamelessness that the Rochester Theater is engaging in, and which going to the city with its hand out.
We have actually several stories on the wasted money front. So we've got this Rochester Theater story we'll get to. Out of the Star Tribune, we'll talk about the $90 million spent on mental health for patients who don't need the treatment anymore. And who and where and why did a person steal $1.2 million for fajitas?
That's a lot of fajitas.
I love fajitas too.